You're listening to The Al Franken Show. I'm Catherine Lanford.
And I'm Al Franken. Joining us from Washington, D.C. by phone is Ambassador Joe Wilson. We're going to talk about the investigation into the outing of his wife, who, Joe, she's a CIA agent. Is that right?
That's correct, Al. How are you, Catherine? How are you today?
Hey, Joe.
And I remember we met at Sundance when you did the radio show there, and we were on the road, and I met your wife, and I can't remember her name. How is she doing?
She's doing very well, thank you.
Yeah. It was Victoria something?
Well, she's been called Victoria in various articles. It's but
I don't know. Maybe
actually,
I could...
Actually, she's also been called Plame in a number of articles.
Mm-hmm.
Her name, since the day we got married in April 1999, or 98, rather, has been Wilson, Valerie Wilson.
Well, since I know that she's your wife, I could probably Google it and find out her name.
Yeah, you could probably Google my name. Could have, actually, in 2003. And you would have seen her listed in Emily Post fashion, the former Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm. And why is that significant?
Well, of course, Mr. Novak, I guess, Googled it, or some other fashion found out her
well,
name.
Yeah, Rove keeps saying that, or Rove's lawyer keeps saying that Carl never said her name, and that's just stupid.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I've seen a lot of these statements. Some of them don't seem to be the same statements that were made just before, just as in the case of Mr. Novak.
What do you mean?
Well, they say one thing one day and say another thing another day.
Such as?
Well, Mr. Novak said that that he didn't ask anybody. Somebody told him. And then, of course, it comes and it's told that Novak, and then Rove says that Novak mentioned it, or Novak later says that he mentioned it, and Rove said, yes, I've heard that too.
Is it possible that Novak was told by one reporter and then called Rove and got it confirmed?
I'm sorry, that
Novak was told by one senior White House official or administration official and then called Rove for confirmation.
Well, Novak had certainly wrote that two senior administration officials told him the information. So how that came down is something that only Mr. Novak really knows.
Okay, well, we'll find out sooner or later, I guess. can I get a timeline from you?
Sure.
On, I mean, all this is about Niger, and all this is about, you know, the forged document about the Saddam or Iraq trying to get yellow cake from Niger, and about him, about the president using it in the State of the Union address, using the 16 words about Iraq supposedly trying to buy substantial amounts of uranium from Niger. Tell me the timeline between the State of the Union address, which is in what, February or
late January 2003.
Late January. And how you got to writing the op-ed piece in the New York Times.
Sure.
In July.
Sure. Well, I took the trip in February of 2002, came back and reported in early March.
Mm-hmm.
The State of the Union address was in the end of January 2003. In March of 2003, Dr. Al-Baradei, the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, told the UN Security Council that the documents that the U.S. had given him to support the assertion of the State of the Union address were forgeries.
Mm-hmm.
From March until early July, I spoke indirectly through intermediaries. I tried to speak to through intermediaries to the White House and very directly to the State Department, saying I thought that the president and the administration needed to correct the record. This was from March until the time I wrote my opinion piece. I also served as a background source for a couple of highly respected journalists. In June of 2003, my efforts were rewarded by Dr. Rice on Meet the Press, claiming that maybe somebody in the bowels of the agency knew something about this Niger caper, but nobody in her circle. So in July, or later in June, I called the State Department and said that was wrong, and was told essentially that...
How did you know that was wrong?
well, because I knew that the reports, not just my report,
mm-hmm.
but also the report of our ambassador on the ground and the report of a four-star Marine Corps general would have had a wide distribution through the U.S. government, and the National Security Council is a recipient of these reports.
Okay.
So I was told by the State Department, a senior official at the State Department in June, just really matter-of-factly, that if I was going to correct, if the record was going to be corrected, I'd probably have to write an article myself. So I did. And now my article came out on July 6, 2003.
And then the smear starts. Now, this was Judge David Tatel, who had to rule on Judy Miller and had to rule on Matt Cooper. And remember, this one, he was an appeals court judge. He believes in a federal shield for reporters, but he said that the crime here is so serious that he was going to send these reporters to jail because the people who were they were protecting were smearing you. He called it the plot against Wilson, and they're continuing to lie about you.
Yeah, they sure are. And I keep saying that I hope the journalists will actually go through these talking points and do some fact checking.
I want to play some go through them, and we're going to play Ken Melman, who is the RNC chair. Keeps going on these shows and keeps saying things that just aren't true. And so let me play. This is him on Hardball on the 13th of this month.
Karl Rove said to a reporter that you ought not include the Joe Wilson report because it's inaccurate. And Karl was right. Mr. Wilson was wrong. The report was inaccurate. He was wrong in the sense that the vice president had not sent him down.
Okay, let's start with this claim that you claim that it was the vice president who sent you there.
Right. Well, in the first article I wrote, the New York Times article, I said very clearly that I was briefed that the office of the vice president had expressed an interest in this, but that it was CIA who asked me to go out and make the trip. The language in the talking points that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is putting out come from an interview I did with Wolf Blitzer. And unfortunately, there are transcripts of that interview available.
This is hilarious.
And it's very clear that what they did is they cut and pasted words out of that interview to take out the essential of what I said, which is that the vice president's office was interested, but I've never claimed that the vice president sent me, or even that his office sent me, or even that either of them would have known that I made the trip.
Yeah, let me read from their talking points. This is what they do. They send out, this is the RNC, and by the way, we have called the RNC over and over and over again. And one of our researchers has just made it his job to call the RNC, and we get a press person, and then that press person disappears and is never at his desk again. This is what they write in their, so Joe Wilson, this is what they write for saying that you falsely claimed that it was the vice president sent you. They put Joe Wilson, colon. What they did, what the office of the vice president did, and in fact, I believe now from Mr. Libby's statement, it was probably the vice president himself, dot, dot, dot. Okay, we went and got that transcript that you're talking about. This is you in the transcript from this CNN's late edition on August 3rd, 2003. Wilson, well, look, it's absolutely true that neither the vice president nor Dr. Rice nor even George Tenet knew that I was traveling to Niger. What they did, what the office of the vice president did, and in fact, I believe now from Mr. Libby's statement, it was probably the vice president, dot, 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 and the dot, dot, dot is because Wolf Blitzer interrupts you and says, Scooter Libby is the chief of staff of the vice president. And you go, Scooter Libby. They asked essentially that we follow up on this report and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I mean, now, there are reporters in town, in Washington, that are repeating these lies. Like I saw, we got a transcript, Carl Cameron from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, he says in a report, Wilson, who, you know, claimed that the vice president sent him, but the vice president didn't. I mean, why, how does that make you feel? Doesn't that make you angry?
Well, you know, I think the whole thing is really very sad that our press corps is either illiterate or just simply incapable of going back and doing some basic fact-checking, or utterly reliant on the propaganda that comes out from the RNC. It's not right. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate really mostly for the American people who deserve to know the truth on this matter.
Can you have someone go to Melman and say, stop saying this?
Well, I haven't looked into that. I think that, you know, as I think it was Pat Moynihan once said, every man's entitled to his opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. But these guys are certainly distorting the facts, and clearly I would hope that people like you and others, Media Matters, for example, are really beginning to look into this and doing the research and realizing that, in fact, all of what they're doing is based on lies and misinformation and distortions. And
we're having actually David Brock on later in the show, mm-hmm. and he's going to go over a lot of this, the lies about this. Here's another, I mean, in this, Melman says, Karl Rove said to a reporter that you ought not to include the Joe Wilson report because it's inaccurate. First of all, you didn't write a report.
Right. I gave an oral report to the report's officer, who then translated into sort of CIA talk.
Secondly, your report is accurate.
Well, the Iraq survey.
I mean, your oral report, what you told the CIA was accurate, right?
Sure. And it's been borne out. There is no evidence. The Iraqi survey group that looked at this for well over a year concluded that Iraq had done nothing to reconstitute its nuclear weapons program since 1991. There were no yellow cake sales. There is absolutely no evidence of any attempt to purchase significant quantities of uranium from the West African country of Niger. And make no mistake about it, there's also this argument that, well, the Butler report exonerates, it says that it was okay to use the 16 words saying it was from Africa. And there's a lot of gobbledygook in that report suggesting that maybe this was another country in Africa. But if you go back and you look at an earlier parliamentary report, it's very clear that the formulation that the British used in the white paper to cover Africa meant Niger.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question we're talking about Niger here.
Right. I want to play one more thing, something from Melman again, which is just astounding to me. Play Blitzer 2. This is also on the 12th.
The fact is, Karl Rove did not leak classified information. He did not, according to what we learned this past weekend, reveal the name of anybody. He didn't even know the name, so he couldn't have revealed it.
Okay.
Why does that make you laugh?
Well, when you say Wilson's wife, you're really saying Mrs. Wilson, who is Valerie Wilson. You are identifying her. It is very clear. I am not a bigamist. I may have been married before, but I am not a bigamist. I only have one wife, and her name is Valerie.
Have they accused you yet of being a bigamist?
Well, I'm sure that now having said I'm not a bigamist, they may just cut the knot out of it.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And by the way, Rove did know the name because he told investigators, according to the New York Times on the 15th, that he learned Valerie Plame, your wife's Valerie's name. Now I remember it. Valerie Plame Wilson. Valerie's name from Robert Novak on July 8th.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
That was 3 days before he talked to
Matt Cooper. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're talking to Joe Wilson, who is at the center of some controversy. We'll be right back with the Al Franken Show here on Air America Radio.